The lights are on red. We're away.
Oh, and welcome again to MotoGPOD, the internet radio show about motorcycle road racing. I am Bob Hayes, your host, and today is Tuesday, the 6th of June, 2006. This is show number 64, our Mugello Italian Grand Prix qualifying and race report. I have some good stuff today. Like I said, it is our Mugello Italian Grand Prix race report. So we have a write-up. I actually found a write-up online by another guy. I found it on rideon2.com. It's from rideon2.com poster Kropotkin, a.k.a. David Emmett in real life. And he also has a blog called Kropotkin Thinks. And I'm going to put links up to both the forum entry and David's blog, and you should check it out. But his write-up was so good about Mugello, and actually his qualifying write-up was excellent as well. It was so good about Mugello that I decided to send him an email and say, hey, look, can I read this? And he was nice enough to allow me to do that. And so we're going to enjoy that in a little bit. I'm going to do the qualifying session just sort of winging it, and we're going to get into that here in just half a second. Well, let's see. Other than that, well, there's not really a whole lot of administrative stuff to do with this show, so we're not going to concentrate too much on that. But if you did not happen to catch the Friday, June 2nd show, I encourage you to do so. There was some good stuff in there. We had a conversation with Liam Schubert and my conversation recorded live on location with Darren Carpenter up there at the track day in Portland. And I finally collected all together the pictures of my track day, and I'm going to post those up on the website at MotoGPOD.com. If you're interested, take a look at seeing me kind of, you know, poking around the track. And also there were some pictures of me having my little off-track excursion that I managed to take a trip into the grass, but fortunately kept it riverside down and did not crash. Thank you. But it was, you know, embarrassing to go across the grass, and some pictures of that showed up on rideon2.com. So it's in a link there, and I'm not going to post a link to that. You guys are going to have to find that for yourself if you want to see me scooching across the grass. In any case, take a look at those photos that were taken by onsiteproductions.net, who's one of the photographers that shows up there at PIR and shoots the track days and the club races and all of that. And you can buy a CD with all the images on there that he has shot of you and going around the track. And this can be a really great tool for learning what you're doing on the track, seeing exactly how far you are not leaning over. You know, always lean over a little bit less than you think you are, and things like that for pointers. Plus, if nothing else, if you don't do a lot of track days and you're, you know, probably want a souvenir of your track day, that sort of thing. So it's definitely well worth doing at least the first few times. I understand if you go to a track day, you know, every month and, you know, 6, 7, 8 a year, you may not be wanting to spend the money to have all those photos every time, but you know, they're fun and they're cool. And so I posted mine along with pictures that I took myself or my wife took on MotoGPOD.com. And one last quick thing to mention, sorry, the administrative things are flying around here, is the auction for my tickets for Laguna Seca. I had 5 complete sets of tickets and they are up on eBay right now. So if you're interested in going to Laguna Seca and maybe haven't got tickets yet, something like that, I've got the tickets up there. I've got grandstand seats for both days, including 2 seats both in Turn 4 and Turn 11 on Saturday. And I have paddock passes. Very important. I have 5 paddock passes in that package and the camping and all that. I just want to sell it all and try and put it out of my mind that I'm not going, damn it. But in any case, you guys can, somebody can buy that and go have fun and, you know, let us know how great a time you had about it. And we're not looking to make a whole lot of money, but obviously if the bidding goes up above what we paid for it, well, then that's kind of cool. That's gravy, a little bit of compensation for our mental anguish at not being able to go, me and my friends from the Navy Reserve. So that auction's up there. And also check out Steve Jones's auction. Like I said, if you want a suite, he has several tickets going there for the trophy suites. And I explained all that in last show in great detail. Check out stevejones.cc/suite, S-U-I-T-E. And he has full details there of how you can do a really fabulous race experience. If you've got the strokes to step up to the plate, you can do in the trophy suite, and they give you the food and the booze and the super duper paddock pass. They get you back to the secret spot and all that kind of great stuff. You get a Dakota ring and everything. So check that out. Steve Jones's auction, my auction on eBay, photos on MotoGPOD.com, and Kropotkin's blog. And why don't we just stop blathering on and get on with it. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the qualifying session for Mugello. Beautiful spring day there in Tuscany, Italy. Air temperature was about 60 degrees Fahrenheit, 16 degrees Celsius, and we had Sete Gibernau setting the fastest lap and pole position, his first pole of the 2006 season. He set a new circuit fastest lap of all time at a 148.969, put him on pole. Second place, Loris Caparossi on the second Ducati. And third was Valentino Rossi, so running out the front row there. Valentino Rossi qualifying very well here at the home race of Mugello, kind of like I thought he might. Second row, Nicky Hayden, Shinya Nakano in fifth, continuing his string of good qualifying sessions. Sixth, Marco Melandri. Third row, we had John Hopkins on the Suzuki, Danny Pedrosa on the other Repsol Honda, and Casey Stoner on the LCR Honda. Fourth row, Makoto Tomata, Kenny Roberts Jr. on the Team Roberts KR211V in 11th position there. And 12th, rounding out the fourth row, Tony Elias. Fifth row, 13th position, Carlos Checa, qualifying fairly well on his Dunlops. 14th, Colin Edwards, somewhat of a disappointing qualifying session there. His time was 150.405, so he was about a second and a half off of pole position there. And yeah, just about that far from back from Rossi, 1.3 seconds or so back from Rossi. So didn't do all that well here at Mugello. Not 100% sure what happened there with Edwards, why he's qualifying so far down. However, the entire field so far, all the way down there through the end of the fifth row, we're looking at a total gap of only 1.5 seconds. So it's a very, very close field there, because in 15th, rounding out that fifth row was Chris Vermeulen on the other Suzuki. Then 6th row, Randy Dupuynier in 16th, James Ellison 17th, Alex Hoffman 18th, and Alex Hoffman significantly has a new addition to his mechanicking team, which if you heard last week's episode on June 2nd, you know that that's Liam Schubert, our man in Spain, has a job with Dantin Ducati, and he is Alex Hoffman, one of Alex Hoffman's mechanics, so that's really cool. And then rounding out the grid in 19th position, Jose Luis Cardoso on the other Dantin Ducati. And the entire field, all the way down to the 19th spot, was covered by a gap of less than 4 seconds. So that's a fairly close racing. And Mugello is a good, tight technical circuit. It's not so much a test of horsepower as a test of rider skill. So I think that shows a lot, again, about this year's incredible depth of field. Sete Gibernau, like I said, putting his first pole position in for the year. So we've had 6 races now and 5 different guys on pole. So again, it's another indication of the depth of field and just the great entertainment that we're getting out of this season, out of the different, so many different people going on pole. We've got different winners going on. We have a real title chase. The races are fantastic. As we're going to see, Mugello was absolutely fantastic. So that is our qualifying session there. Like I said, Sete Gibernau on pole. Good job, Sete. All right, let's get on to the Mugello race report. Going to do things a little differently, like I said in the intro. I found a write-up online at rideon2.com in the forum. That's rideon2.com/forum. And this is from Kropotkin, a.k.a. David Emmett, who has his own blog. And he posted his blog entry there on Ride On 2. And I'm going to post links to both of those in the show notes. So make sure you check it out, rideon2.com/forum. And Kropotkin's blog called Kropotkin Thinks at blogger.xs4all.nl/daisy. And like I said, check out the links. Mugello was a fantastic race. So far, we've had so many fantastic races this year. Well, certainly at least 2 that I can think of that are going to be remembered for quite some time. I mean, let's face it, last year and even possibly in 2004, some of the races were, you know, a bit of a snoozer, really. I mean, you know, you're always looking forward to a MotoGP race and it's always entertaining to watch, but some are better than others. So far this year, we've been treated to several that are better than others, and a couple that I think are really going to stand out for a long time to come as races that are just classics, well worth watching. And Mugello was definitely one that was well worth watching. And Kropotkin's write-up was so good that I figured, you know, I'm not going to do any better. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. So I asked him about it, and he said it was okay. So I want you to check out Kropotkin's blog to find more of his great writings, because he had an excellent qualifying write-up as well. And I will also, you know, probably interject some of my own comments and things like that. We'll talk a little bit about the world standings at the end. So if you happen to have already read the post on rideon2.com or on Kropotkin Thinks, go ahead and give it a listen anyways. It's worth, just like the race, it's kind of worth another go-around. It's going to be enjoyable. So it's entitled, The Titans Meet in Tuscany. Motorcycle racing is a sport haunted by injustice. Chance lies waiting at every corner, turning a dream race into a nightmare where engines can blow, tires can tear themselves apart, or an overcooked corner can end in the gravel traps. But sometimes fate takes a step aside and races turn into a direct reflection of the real strengths in the paddock. That this should happen at Mugello seemed only fitting. Great races belong at great racetracks. That Mugello had the potential to turn into a great race was shown in the 250 race, where a group of five riders battled for the win almost to the wire. That the main title contenders were bent on making it a great race was a given. Two Ducatis in their gorgeous anniversary livery sat on the front row, driving an already excitable Italian crowd into an absolute frenzy. Besides the Ducati on the front row sat the Dr. Valentino Rossi, his chatter problems seemingly cured by the new chassis debuted at Le Mans. Repsol Honda's Nicky Hayden sat in fourth, knowing that he had his work cut out to defend the lead in the championship, with Rossi's Italian compatriot Marco Melandri sitting directly behind Rossi in sixth. At the sixth race of the year, with roughly one-third of the season gone, and with three rounds coming up on three consecutive weekends 14 days from now, everyone knew we were getting into the guts of the title fight. A good result here was crucial to take momentum into the grueling three-week stretch that is to come. As the lights went out, the pack leapt off the line, the crowd becoming ecstatic as the red, silver, and green Ducati took the lead into the first corner, the yellow camel Yamaha bearing the number 46 hot on its tail. The excitement was followed by a ripple of disappointment as the Italian masses realized that it was the, quote, wrong, unquote, Ducati in the lead. The rider was bearing Spaniard Sete Gibernau. But by the second corner, the disappointment made way for elation as Valentino Rossi barged through to capture the lead. Meanwhile, the right Ducati, the Italian bike bearing an Italian rider, was languishing down in eighth place, Loris Caparossi having gotten off to a terrible start. By contrast, Shinya Nakano had a fantastic start on the Kawasaki, sitting right in Gibernau's tailpipe in third, leading a charging Marco Melandri and another great starter, Casey Stoner, down the hill away from Poggio Seco. The question remained whether he could hang on to that third spot and cast off his image as a fast starter who fades as the race progresses. As the bikes crossed the line at the end of the first lap, Nakano's reputation seemed once again justified, having lost a spot to Melandri round the southern end of the track and being outbraked at the end of the straight by the young Australian Stoner. Behind Nakano, Nicky Hayden and teammate Danny Pedrosa were engaged in a fierce battle for sixth, a reflection of their battle for position within the Repsol Honda hierarchy. It would be several laps before this once was settled one way or the other. Behind the HRC pair and Loris Caparossi, Kenny Roberts Jr. was showing that the new chassis that Team KR had provided for the Honda V5 engine was a major improvement over the previous version, holding down a promising ninth place. Fellow American John Hopkins followed in 10th, failing to capitalize on the great grid position he'd put his Rizla Suzuki in during qualifying. Another American with the new chassis was down in 13th, Colin Edwards having decided on using the new chassis that Valentino Rossi was riding after a poor qualifying session on Saturday. On the grid, he seemed confident he'd found a good setup with a new frame, but any chance of proving his point was ruined as he ran wide and into the gravel on lap 2, rejoining at the rear of the race. He was eventually to finish in 12th after a strong ride making up for the ground that he lost. Back at the front of the race, Rossi's determination to pull out a win was showing. Proof that he was pushing as hard as possible came on the second lap as he ran a little wide through the Pellagio left-hander, kicking up dirt outside the curbstones and allowing Sete Gibernau to take back the lead. Rossi settled in behind Gibernau to regain his composure and await his chance. Melandri was right on Rossi's tail, pushing him briefly before losing back out again. Completing the group was Casey Stoner, making a strong impression and pushing Melandri hard. By lap 5, Rossi had retaken the lead after swapping back and forth with Gibernau, and the front group had grown to 6 members, Pedrosa and Hayden joining the front runners, their personal feud not yet finally settled. The fight was fierce at the front, with no one expecting any quarter to be given. Melandri, in particular, was vehement in not taking prisoners, putting a series of extremely tough moves on almost everyone in the group. The battle for third was starting to take its toll on the group, allowing Rossi and Gibernau to slip away, picking up a narrow lead. As the riders passed the stripe at the end of lap 8, Casey Stoner dealt decisively with Melandri, who'd been holding the following group up a fraction, pulling out of the Fortuna Honda rider's slipstream to dive into the San Donato right-hander in third. Stoner's determination was to prove his downfall, however. In his rush to make up the 1.2 seconds that was lost to Rossi and Gibernau, he opened the gas too early coming over the Poggio Seco rise, losing the rear spectacularly, the bike spinning end over end to its expensive demise. Stoner was lucky to get up and walk away to pay a visit to the Clinica Mobile for treatment on an injured hand. By this time, Nikki Hayden, the Kentucky kid, had settled the HRC rivalry in his favor, finally managing to make the pass that he'd put on Pedrosa stick and move on to dispatch Melandri back to fourth. Loris Caporossi had also joined the fray by now, making good on his poor start to join the front runners, moving past Melandri into fourth by lap 11. At the front, Seti Germinow seemed to be rehearsing the move he would be making on the last lap, slipstreaming the doctor out of the long Puccini left-hander and along the final straight, but he never seemed able to get past Rossi. The Yamaha's top speed, a weakness in previous seasons, is no longer in doubt. After sneaking past Nikki Hayden, Loris Caporossi was quick to close down the two leaders, taking a whopping 8/10 off the gap on lap 13th. Once he'd arrived, however, the leading six reassembled, with Rossi leading Germinow, Caporossi, Hayden, Melandri, and Pedrosa. Battles once again joined, with tussles on almost every corner. Rossi, who had seemed superb, was showing the strain of keeping the chasing pack behind him, outbreaking himself and running wide on lap 15, losing four places in the process, leaving Germinow in the lead. The Spaniard's lap was to last for less than a lap. However, as the crowd emitting a huge cheer as Loris Caporossi passed his teammate onto the starting straight. This was the start of a remarkable slide for Germinow, losing five places in over 2.5 seconds in just two laps. Though he recovered his lap times and he was running as fast as the front group, he never managed to rejoin them, finally finishing a lonely fifth. The man he did manage to pass was Marco Melandri, whose effort to pass Nikki Hayden proved too much, leaving him running extremely wide, rejoining 5 seconds down on the leaders. And to interject real quick, what happened to Germinow there was he lost a toe slider on his boot, and apparently his boot wore away and he started wearing away his foot. So he was probably in considerable pain, and that caused him to lose focus, and it was a very sudden sort of slide from snatching defeat from the jaws of victory for Seti Germinow again, unfortunately proving that the curse of Qatar is still in effect. And also, while I'm interjecting into Kropotkin's excellent write-up, let me tell you that some of the moves that Marco Melandri and Nikki Hayden were making on each other in their battle for third was just amazing. Coming into the S's, Melandri would put a wheel in and try to pass Hayden, and Hayden started showing his maturity as a racer that he's developing by doing fine through the right-hander. Okay, go ahead, Melandri, try and pass. And then on the left-hander, every time, it happened like 4 or 5 times, Hayden would pull it back off, taking the outside and knowing where he was at and keeping his line and just doing a great job. So overall, up to this point, the race was just an edge-of-the-seat kind of race. And let's get back to Kropotkin's write-up, enough of my rambling. So, and then there were three. With four riders left at the front, two of them Italians, the scene was set for a memorable finale, and the crowd were not to be disappointed. Caporossi led into the final laps, with Rossi pushing him every step of the way and Nikki Hayden hot on their heels. Danny Pedrosa was losing contact and moving out of contention for the podium. The top three were inseparable, Rossi and Hayden constantly probing for gaps to poke their bikes through to pass Caporossi for the lead, but Caporex and the doctor kept slamming the door shut at every attempt. On the penultimate lap, Rossi finally managed to pass his fellow Italian, slipping inside at Materassi to take the lead. Coming back over start and finish, Caporossi pulled out of Rossi's slipstream to get his bike a tire width ahead, but with a lap to go, this move wouldn't count. But the doctor decided that he was going to win this one. His last lap was scorching, building a half-second cushion between himself and Caporossi, who was caught up, keeping Hayden in third to take a truly epic win. Caporossi kept second over the line, and a magnificent Hayden taking third. Pedrosa, who had faded a little over the last couple of laps, finished 2 seconds down in fourth, ahead of a strong Germinow on the Ducati. A disappointed Melandri was sixth, the victim of his own eagerness. Behind the front group, another great battle had played itself out over the course of the race. Tony Elias, Kenny Roberts Jr., Makoto Tomata, John Hopkins, and Shinya Nakano had been all over each other all race long. As they crossed the line, Melandri's Fortuna Honda teammate Elias came out on top, taking seventh ahead of an excellent performance by Kenny Roberts Jr. on the new Team KR bike, Makoto Tomata in ninth, Suzuki's John Hopkins in tenth, and Shinya Nakano in 11th. Colin Edwards followed a long way back in 12th, a decent recovery after a bad mistake. Nakano's Kawasaki teammate Randy Depunier ended 13th, followed by Australian Suzuki rider Chris Vermeulen on his first outing to Mugello, with Carlos Checa taking the final point for 15th position. Ellison and the lapped Cardoso finished up the field, Cardoso's teammate Hoffman having pulled out of the race on lap 8. After a run of freak failures and surprising results, Mugello turned out more or less as everyone would have expected at the start of the season. Valentino Rossi demonstrated why he is the world champion, taking a crucial win when he needed it. Loris Caporossi pushed his Ducati to the very limit to try and put an Italian rider on an Italian bike on the top step. And Nicky Hayden rode an impressive and calculating race, only gambling what he could afford to lose. But the result sheet belies what really happened. On any given lap, the race winner was almost impossible to predict, the title contenders pushing each other to the very limit and sometimes beyond to take the win at Mugello. Rossi looked almost as relieved and as emotional on the cool-down lap as he did after winning on his first outing at Yamaha at Welcome in South Africa in 2004. This win meant more to him than even he realized, and it was exactly what he needed to get his title defense back on track. But he had to fight for it every inch of the way. Caporossi returned to blistering form after a couple of poor outings, looking once again like a credible championship contender. Nicky Hayden put in another strong, sensible champions race, defending his lead without taking stupid risks. Back on the podium after missing out at Le Mans, he again looked slightly disappointed, the desire to win one getting stronger every race, and especially after races like Mugello, where he ran at the front and threatened all race long. Even the class rookies behaved just as expected. Pedrosa ran hard and came close, but he faded towards the end, seemingly justifying the predictions of the preseason critics that he couldn't last a whole race. But he looked fresh and frustrated in the post-race interviews and not like a man with nothing left. Fellow rookie Casey Stoner also stayed true to form, running very fast, riding very hard, and looking like a real threat before making a mistake and crashing out, something that he has built up a reputation for in the lower classes. And Melandri stayed true to his fickle form, winning races one week while ending in the middle orders the next. What Mugello does make clear is that with the arrival of the young guns and the departure of the old guard, MotoGP has received a shot in the arm this season. With today's race at Mugello and the race at Istanbul, racing fans have been treated to two of the greatest MotoGP races for a very long time. The fans have really been the winner in 2006, and with Valentino Rossi back in the title race and Caporossi and Hayden tied for points at the top of the table, things are just going to get better. So, like I said, that was a write-up that was, you know, I couldn't have said it better myself. And after reading it online at rideon2.com, I was so impressed with it and everything. Like I said, I wanted to ask David if he'd mind if I read it. And he was nice enough to say that that was okay. So thank you very much for that, David. Appreciate it. It was an excellent write-up. And I look forward to reading more of your stuff on your blog. So I'm going to make that a bookmark and make sure I check into it all the time. Now, talking about the world standings, like I said, in the qualifying report, had six races so far, five different guys on pole, four different guys have won races. It's still the season up for grabs. It's very, very exciting. What we're doing for the world standings right now, we got Loris Caporossi and Nicky Hayden tied at 99 points. Six races completed, they've done 99 each. Caporossi is officially in first because he has a win. So if it were to come down to a dead tie at the end, Caporossi would be champion. Then Marco Melandri on 89 points, 10 points back of the leaders, is in third place. Danny Pedrosa at 86 points is in fourth place. Valentino Rossi, here's significant, fifth place, 65 points. So he's 34 points out of the lead. He did narrow up his gap considerably over Hayden last race. He started off Mugello with 43 points down, so he closed that up 9 points. So good job to Rossi. Sixth place, also with 65 points, Casey Stoner. Seventh place, Tony Elias. Eighth, Colin Edwards with 49 points. Ninth, Sete Gibernau. Tenth, Makoto Tomata. 11th, Shin Nakano with 37 points. 12th place in the standings, Kenny Roberts Jr. So, you know, 12th place in the standings on the new chassis and everything. I look for some better performance out of Team KR for the rest of the season. I think we're going to see it. I think we'll see Kenny Roberts Jr. moving on up a little bit in the standings. Realistically, a title title chances, you know, it's probably not going to happen, but I think he can do better, and he'll probably break into the top 10 before the end of the season, and that's spectacular for Team KR. Then next we have John Hopkins in 13th, Chris Vermeulen 14th, Carlos Checa 15th, Randy Dupuynier 16th, Alex Hoffman 17th, James Ellison 18th, amazingly enough, and Jose Luis Cardoso 19th in the standings. So there's our standings. Like I said, our leaders are Caporossi and Hayden tied on points at 99, Marco Melandri in third, Danny Pedrosa in fourth, and Valentino Rossi in fifth. And although you've got a fair point gap back to Rossi, you know, that 34 points, it's definitely anybody's championship, and Rossi could well pull it out. If you happen to have read the other post on rideon2.com in the blog area, if you just go to the front page of rideon2.com, Pop Monkey posted Ken Rossi Pull It Off sort of an article that was just excellent. So if you haven't read that, I mentioned it the last podcast, go ahead and read it now, rideonto.com. It was an excellent one. And that is going to do it for our Mugello report and a quick look at the World Championship standings. That's going to do it for today. Thank you very much for downloading the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. This is my second to last one before I go into deployment. So we're going to have Jim Race taking over next week. Friday, we will have our normal Friday show. I'm going to continue our discussion with Darren Carpenter that we recorded live on location at the track day. So a few more, a little discussion about track day and for track days and racing, excuse me, for both amateurs, rank mega amateurs like myself and amateur club racers like Darren. And we talk a little bit about tires and stuff like that. It's a good segment and I wanted to save it for a Friday show. If you didn't listen, again, if you didn't listen to the last Friday show, go ahead and download it. We had the first part of that conversation with Darren and we had a really great conversation with our guy Liam Schubert over in Spain. He had some fantastic news to pass on. It was a surprise to me and I think that you'll enjoy the conversation that we had with him. And we're going to see what we can pull off for next Friday besides the conversation with Darren. Got a couple things going on, or it might just be me making some stuff up about what's going on in MotoGP right now and kind of saying goodbye and getting all teary-eyed and all that kind of thing. So we'll just have to find that out. And until then, have a really good week. And don't forget that we have the next round, round 7, at Catalunya coming up June 18th is race day. So the race weekend is June 16, 17, 18 there in Catalunya. Liam's going to be there, of course, working. And we've got several other listeners that I know are making the trip. So have a great time, you guys. Enjoy yourselves. I'm hoping that I'll be able to watch it live one way or the other, or at least maybe not live, but at least on the same day, one way or the other. We're just going to have to find that out, and I'll email Jim Race or what have you to maybe let you guys know of some way or another that if I do a blog or something like that. I haven't quite decided what I'm going to do on deployment. I'm going to see what my internet access is like before I make any rash promises. Who knows? I might just drop out of sight for 9 or 10 months. But in any case, see you later. MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGPOD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGPOD isn't affiliated with any of them.